Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Father, we lift our hands and thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of our circumstances, you are so strong. You are the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the lion pays no attention to the ant. We thank you, Lord, today that you are not nervous, that you are on the throne, that you are strong and mighty, Lord, that you are working in our world and you are working in our lives, and we glorify you and we say there's no one like you, Lord. Thank you for touching every person in this room and everyone online and in the cafe. Thank you for touching our high school and junior high school students. Thank you for touching our moms and dads, our fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. Thank you for touching every one of us. Those that need a healing touch, Lord, touch them now, Lord. And as we go into your message, Lord, as we go into your word, Father, the scripture will come alive and enlighten our soul and lift us, Lord. Give us your heart and your vision, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and let's thank God for a good worship team. Hallelujah. Thank you. You can be seated. I prayed with a young man named Cassiel today. I don't know if Cassiel is in the room here, but Cassiel's one of our, I think he's either junior high or high school. And he had a skating accident and he hurt his foot. And he came up after the first service and he said, "Would you pray for me?" I said, "Sure." And I prayed. It was a pretty good prayer. I felt some power on it, but I wasn't sure why he was laughing. And I got to the end of my prayer and I said, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "Dude, I could turn a backflip." He said, "All the pain in my foot is gone." He's, I don't know, George, is he about 13, 14, 15 years old? And the Lord instantly healed his foot, and he was laughing, overwhelmed with joy. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, God is working. God is working. And at the end of the service, we'll have prayer teams up here at the front to pray for you if you need healing prayer. We do believe in God's power to heal. Let me make a couple of comments before I get into the message. It's been kind of a wild week if you've been paying attention in the news, and it goes all the way back to last Saturday, I guess it was, with all that crazy hatred that broke out in Charlottesville. And even though I wasn't here on Sunday, I was so proud of our church and how we prayed over that and how we dealt with it. And then I was very proud of Kathy Canastracy and her message last Sunday and what a great blessing that was. And then, it became quite a busy week. As you may know, I work with a lot of pastors here in our city, and a number of them are African-American, and we put a lot of time into coming together and making sure that we have their backs and that we're standing with them and that they understand that we're with them. And so some beautiful things have taken place, and I wanted to mention, because I got a call from my friend Pastor Jason Reynolds. I think he pastors, I think, what would be the largest African-American church in our city at this point, Emmanuel Baptist Church. He's a friend of mine. We work together, and he is inviting anyone and everyone, all faithful Christians, to come to an interfaith. Everyone say interfaith. So that's not a church service like you would be used to. There's going to be Sikhs, and there's going to be, actually the mayor has asked all the religious community to come together to stand up against racism in this hour, which of course is something we all agree on. So the gathering will not be, yeah, that's pretty good, right? The gathering will be today at 4:00 at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and you may be hearing some things that you don't exactly jive with your biblical Christianity, but the point in the gathering is not to have a Christian worship service. The point is to take a stand in our city. So that's going to be at the Emmanuel Baptist Church at 4:00 this afternoon. And if you're looking for something to do that would be important, Pastor Jason would appreciate you being there and standing with people of color across our community and across all religious communities to say, you know what? Because, you know what? There's a time when you do have to kind of say, all right, that's enough, right? And so then I'm also privileged to work with South Bay Pastors Network. I give leadership to that group, about 60 pastors here in the South Bay. And we came together and we put together a statement, and I would like to read it for you in case it would encourage your heart. This is a statement of the leaders of the South Bay Pastors Network regarding the recent racist events in Charlottesville. We, the leaders of the South Bay Pastors Network, are brokenhearted over the abhorrent, sinful, and evil display of racism, violence, hate, and bigotry that occurred in Charlottesville last weekend. We strongly and unequivocally condemn every form of racism, and specifically the white supremacist ideology. We affirm the clear teaching of Scripture that all human beings are equally created in the image and likeness of God, and that all forms of racism, prejudice, and discrimination are a violation of the teachings of Jesus to love one another and not to mistreat any of the least of Christ's brethren, in that such mistreatment of even the least is a mistreatment of Christ himself. We encourage every follower of Christ to stand together with equal honor for all people of every color. We call for every believer to pray for spiritual awakening in our nation and live out the biblical message of love, unity, humility, repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation in this turbulent hour. If you agree with that, you can say hallelujah. All right? That's the South Bay Pastors Network. I'm proud of them. I think there shouldn't be any question where any of us stand in times like this, and we can do all the back and forthing and equivocating and yeah, but what about this and what about, but the point is there's got to be clarity about what's evil. And the gospel doesn't allow for such beliefs. Amen. Now let's get into the message. I'm excited to preach to you this morning, and I've just wasted about 7 minutes, but I don't think it was wasted. But how many will give me one extra minute at the end of the service if I just go 1 minute? Raise your hand if you will. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That's the oldest joke in the world. So I got about 45 extra minutes this morning. And we're in a series called Be Strong. Everyone say Be Strong. We live in a world obsessed with strength like at no other time. It's amazing. I go to my gym, and you can't even get a parking place. You can't get a locker. I mean, people are jamming in. They're taking the dance classes. They're taking the swim classes. They're working hard at personal strength, and young people are working out, and older people are working out. I've seen some guys there in their 60s and 70s. Like, I wouldn't mess with them. I mean, they're strong. And but very little is being done, I think, sometimes to strengthen us on the inside. It's all great when you get your mirror muscles working, right? But what about on the inside? What are you doing to be strong on the inside? I want to say to us today that if we're not being renewed daily, if you and I are not taking the time and practicing the disciplines of daily building our strength and renewing ourselves, that life will tend to drain us and take our spirit to a weak place. Life is very challenging. It is real. The battle is real. The struggle is real. The difficulties at work, the difficulties at school, the stuff that my young brothers and sisters are facing in public schools and on college campuses and everything, all of that is designed to drain us of our strength. So we've got to get good at being strong. I wonder if we assume that just because we're saved, that we're strong. But, you know, not everybody that's breathing and is alive is actually strong physically. You can be alive, but you can be very, very weak. And the same is true. You can be born again. You can have Christ, but you can be laying there in an extremely weakened condition. And God wants us to be strong. And there is a way to be strong, and we can be strong. He commands us to be strong. And so in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we find like this anchor verse that's been guiding us all through this Be Strong series. And I want to read it to you. The first two words are, be strong. Everybody say, be strong. All right, be strong and very courageous, he says. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Don't get distracted. And that you may be successful wherever you go. How many are glad that God is interested in your success? He wants you to be successful, not just in the nice places, not just in the comfortable places, not just in the convenient places. God wants you to be successful wherever you go. Let me tell you, you might be in a tough neighborhood, in a tough school. You might be in a tough circumstance, but God can strengthen you right there. You don't need greener pastures. You need more strength. He will make you successful right there. Have I not commanded you? And he says it again, be strong and courageous. Watch this now. Do not be afraid. Now, he puts a check on negative emotions here. Do not be afraid and do not be what? Those are negative emotions. And I'm gonna take us on a little tour here today of a few of the negative emotions that start to build up in our inner life when we're not exercising ourselves to be strong in the strength of the Lord. So he says, do not be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You will never be alone. I hope you don't have to visit the doctor too often. I hope you have health and strength, but occasionally you may need to go in for a checkup. And when you do go to see your doctor, he will check your vital signs. We've got some physicians here in the room, and any of you that have been to the doctor, you know they're going to check your blood pressure, and they're going to look in your eyes, and they're going to look down your throat, and they're going to ask you some questions. What they're trying to do is get a read on your health and what may be going on the inside of you. And there are vital signs that they check. And in just the same way that a doctor can check your vital signs, you can check your spiritual vital signs. There are certain markers of health and things that will speak to us about whether we are weak or whether we are strong. And the message today is entitled Weak No More, because you don't ever have to be weak again if you understand where to find this kind of strength. But let's check our vital signs. Negative thoughts, negative words, and negative actions will all be things that kind of tell the story. Now, it may not be happening in your life. It might be your friend. You might have a friend who has negative thoughts, depression, hopelessness. I felt like the Holy Spirit told me there were some high school students here today that are struggling with depression. Okay, that's a real struggle. And I want us to understand that's not a sign of weakness. You're not weak because you're but that's all the more reason for you to be interested in how to be strong, especially if you're dealing with depression, hopelessness, self-degrading. You're down on yourself. You know, you're not good enough for yourself. There's negative words, critical words. You know, boy, the opinions in this society and the criticism in this society. I have never seen so many people critiquing every angle of every meal and every television show and every movie. There is such a, nothing is good enough for anybody. No wonder we're depressed. My goodness. But if your friend is critical, you might want to encourage them. That's not real health. Living in a constant critical mode, judgmental, fault-finding, and then there's negative actions. We could go on and on. You know, your temper, your tiredness, your anxiety. A lot of people are struggling with anxiety. And I'm not making light of these things, and I'm not putting down, because this is the rhythm of life. This is where we're at, and we all struggle with these things. But this is also life, brothers and sisters. This is where it's at, and we have to find the strength to rise up over these things. I don't want to be spiritually sick. I want to be strong. I don't want to be filled with all kinds of negative junk. I want to live in a different way. And you know what? God says you can be strong. He would never command you to be strong if you couldn't do it. He says, be strong. Be courageous. Don't give in to discouragement. Yes, life is filled with discouragement, but don't let it dominate you and don't let it drag you down. Now, why does all this matter? It matters that we would have a strong spirit and not allow ourselves to get too weak, because Proverbs 17 says a joyful heart is good medicine, but what? Depression drains. Circle that word, drains. Depression drains your strength. In other words, my friends, you and I have got to, we've got to reach down on the inside and find the knobs and the levers of our soul and make sure we don't let ourselves get too down or discouraged. Because I'm watching Christians that are not paying attention to their inner life and they're losing their joy. And when you lose your joy, you lose your strength, and you could lose relationships and you could lose your sense of peace, and you can let anxiety and all these things take over. And God says, look, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to show you how to be strong. A joyful heart is good medicine. It'll actually unlock physical and spiritual strength in your life. And I'd like to make a mention of these draining days that we're in. Is anybody else besides me finding it extremely challenging to stay encouraged and optimistic at this present moment? I mean, there's a lot of bad news. There's a lot of junk going on, a lot of stuff that's like, yuck, oh my gosh, are people doing this? Are people thinking this way? Are they living this way? And, you know, ISIS is on the move, and they're blowing things up, and there's violence everywhere. And here in America, there's crazy stuff going on. And we've got to find a way to retain the joy of the Lord and to keep our spirit strong. Let me say this to you. In these draining days, you need to keep your spirit strong. Because I wish I could say that if we just hang on for another couple of weeks, I'm sure everything's going to be fine. You know what? I'm sure that life is just going to get easier just around the bend. Just around the bend, it's all going to get really easy. Everybody's going to get in a circle. We're all going to sing kumbaya. We're going to love each other. The economy's going to be perfect. People are going to be fine. All disease will be gone. But here's what's true. We might be, okay, I'm not a doom and gloom guy, but just what if? What if what we're experiencing right now is just the beginning of the storm? Now, I'm going to pray. I'm a faith man. You'll find me most Saturdays here on my face in our all day, thank God, our all church, our all church prayer meeting. We open the doors at 6. We don't go all day. But I'm a faith guy. I'm a prayer guy. I'm prophesying. I'm declaring. I'm believing and all that. But I'm telling you, it could potentially get worse before it gets better. So if your security is in things going smoothly because you're choosing, well, I think I'll just live a weaker life and hope that things get better, that's not a good plan. Maybe the better plan is for us to be stronger. You know, to stand just a little bit taller and to believe just a little bit and to really challenge ourselves to be strong and very courageous in this hour. In these draining days, he says, don't let discouragement take over your spirit. Don't go there. You can feel it trying to come. I'm discouraged at school. I'm discouraged at work. I'm discouraged in ministry. And God says, don't go there. Don't give yourself the luxury of days, weeks, and months living a discouraged life. You've got to be strong. You've got to be courageous. You've got to find the joy of the Lord. So how do we do that? How do we live a stronger life? Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He says, don't be dejected or sad. Now look, grief is real. Anxiety is real. All these things are real. But there is something that is available in God called the joy of the Lord. It is not dependent on your circumstance and who likes you and who doesn't like you and who hires you or doesn't hire you. The joy of the Lord doesn't come from your circumstances and it doesn't come from you. It comes from the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. It's not your joy. It's joy that is populated on the inside of you by Jesus Christ, who lives on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. So you say, well, I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be funny. I don't want you to be fake either. I don't want to be fake. I'm not talking about fake. Who said something about fake? I'm talking about authentic joy. Talking about an action. I'm not talking about pasting a smile, putting a happy face on difficult circumstances. I'm talking about something that's a river on the inside of you. We sang about it. There's a river on the inside of you, and God is not nervous, and he's not lacking joy. And if he's on the inside of you, then you have access to authentic joy, and there's nothing fake about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will help you when you're broken. The joy of the Lord will help you when you're hurting. The joy of the Lord will help you when you're sick. It doesn't mean your life is all good. It just means that you're not going to give yourself to depression and discouragement. Am I talking to anybody today? Because, look, the challenges are real. Let's not kid ourselves. We're living in a difficult time. But there is a way to be strong, and God is calling us to be strong. In fact, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for us. I'm still kind of distracted by somebody over here that's in depression, and there might be somebody else somewhere that's, you're just like, you want to quit, like you're done. And I just want to bind that. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I'm asking you to inject the joy of the Lord into our lives. Lord, we lay down our passionate commitment to discouragement. We release that right now. That's not our identity. That's not who we are. We're not going to assume that we always have to be depressed. Lord, I pray that you break heaviness and sorrow and release every single one of us from discouragement in Jesus' name, and let joy begin to bubble up on the inside. Just like Cassio, when I prayed for his foot, he started laughing. I ask, Lord, for some Holy Spirit joy to be released from the inside of us, Lord, that we will laugh in the face of our enemies, that we will laugh in our valleys, Lord, that we'll smile again as your people, and we'll come back to the joy of living the Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're watching this video in a small group, take your teaching guide and begin to go through and talk to each other. And then at the end of the notes, pray with each other and have an amazing small group time. Today, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine named Habakkuk. Can you spell his name? Can you say his name? All right. Everybody say Habakkuk. There's two K's in Habakkuk, in case you were wondering. But yeah, no, it's not a clucking chicken. It's just a Hebrew name. And Habakkuk experienced a turnaround in his life. He started off sad. It's a beautiful minor prophet book right at the end of the Old Testament. And it's a story of a prophet and how he was weak and how he became strong. And I want to tell you this story because this turnaround is something that you can experience. Let me read this story and where it starts with you, where it starts with him, so that you and I can make application of it. Habakkuk chapter 1. He starts off on a real high note. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? This guy is discouraged. He doesn't get what God is doing in his life. All kinds of stuff is breaking loose, and he's discouraged. He says, and you don't listen, God. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you don't come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. Does this sound like our day today? My goodness, is this a word? I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. This is where Habakkuk starts. And he says, I'm frustrated. God, I don't get what you're doing. And you can feel life is draining him. You can feel that he's got a problem because the people of God were under attack from the enemy. And I promise you, we're in a spiritual battle today as well. In fact, God was allowing another nation to come against the nation of Israel to discipline them for their disobedience. And Habakkuk couldn't understand why God was allowing the suffering and what he was doing. He was stressed out, he was depressed, and he was angry. He had allowed his spirit to ride the circumstances. And when you attach your spiritual life to your circumstances, and circumstances go down, guess where your spirit's going to go? You're going down. You're going into depression. You got to detach from your circumstances. So God responds to Habakkuk. God is good. He'll talk to us. He'll speak to us. When we ask him and when we're honest, God will give us an answer. And God responds. And this is where we learn the secret of the turnaround that Habakkuk made. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, God says this. Okay, remember, he's stressed out. He's discouraged. His spirit's getting weak. He doesn't get it. And God says this, I want you to look around. Look around and be amazed. Now watch this. If you have a pen or a pencil, you might want to underline this. For I am doing something. Just pause right there. Everyone just say, God is doing something. God says, you don't see what I'm doing, but I'm doing something. And you're frustrated and you're down, but I promise you, I am at work. He said, I'm doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if somebody told you about it. I have a question for you. Can you see what God is doing? Or do you just see the headlines? Do you just see the bad news? Do you just see the story? Because if all you see is the terrible stuff that's going on at school and work and in the nation or whatever, that is enough to depress you. But God says in the midst of this, I really believe you, God wants you to understand that he is at work and he is doing something. I read today the beautiful story of Esther in the Old Testament where the enemies of God were coming against the Jewish people. Once again, it was a racial hatred, and they were going to murder all the Jewish people. And God raised up Esther. And it was through her prayer and her wisdom and her intercession that the whole situation turned around. And by the end of the story, Haman, who was the hater, Haman was hanging on the gallows that he prepared for his enemies. It all fell back on him, and all of Haman's wealth and his property went to the Jewish people, and a man named Mordecai, Esther's uncle, ended up second in command of the whole nation. God completely flipped it around. But at that worst possible time, it would have been great if the Jewish people could have said, wait a minute, we're depressed, we're scared, we're freaking out, but God is about to do something. And I want to just look at you, no matter, you could be going through hell right now. I'm not sure what you're facing, but I'm here to tell you, God loves you and he's doing something in your life. No matter how bad it looks. And so I want to give you three things today. We've gotten past our vital signs, you know, and all of that. Now we're talking about Habakkuk's turnaround. And I want to give you three things that are going to help you turn around. When you're in a tough place, if you take these three steps, your life is going to turn around. First of all, you got to shift your focus. And that's what we're talking about. God says, I want you to see what I'm doing. Take your eyes off the problem. See, God needed to get Habakkuk's attention. He said, hey, stop looking at all the stuff and look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Let me have your attention in this moment. Because your attention, your wandering attention, your eye is on the problem. Your eye is on the giant. Your eye is on the situation. And I want your eyes on me. And I want to challenge every follower. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you. Get your eyes off the junk. That's not your purpose in life. Jesus is your purpose in life. And he says this in Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul says this to all believers. Since you've been raised to new life in Christ. Do you have a new life in Christ? Yes. Hallelujah. You have a new life in Christ. So set your sights on the realities of heaven. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not about the things of earth. In other words, don't get your inspiration, don't get your energy, don't get your story from what's happening out there. You get your story from Jesus Christ. You get your forecast. You get your forecast from Him, not from your neighbor. Okay, keep your eyes on the Lord, because what your neighbor is saying and what the news guy is saying and what the politician is saying, that's just gonna make you angry and bring you down. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Don't you remember what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12? He says, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto our politicians. Is that what it says? Looking unto the financial forecaster. What are we looking at? Jesus. We're looking unto Jesus. He's the author. And He's the finisher of our faith. And you know something about Jesus? He knows how to get through hard times. In fact, He got through a time called the cross. He endured the cross, the writer says. He's the author and finisher of your faith. And He, for the joy that was set before Him, the joy of offering you and I eternal life, the joy of His purpose, the joy of His calling to love everyone and to heal everyone and to save. For the joy of that, Jesus was able to endure the cross, and he got through that experience. You might be in a crucible experience. You might be in a painful experience. How do you get through it? For the joy that is set before you, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Where is your focus? If it's on your problem, it's no wonder that you're not more discouraged than you actually are. Get away from me, Beelzebub. I rebuke you. All right. If you're exhausted, if you're drained by your circumstances, look away to Jesus. God said to Habakkuk, hey, I'm up here. I'm up here. Eyes on me. And Habakkuk got it. It says in chapter 2, verse 1 of that beautiful story of Habakkuk, it says, Habakkuk makes a decision. He says this, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says. See, when you get your eyes off your circumstance and your problem and you get it on the Lord, you do it in your watchtower. I love this word, watchtower. What's a watchtower? In the old days, they would have watchtowers usually at the edge of cities where those who watched would climb up. A watchtower was a place of safety. A watchtower was a place of solitude. You didn't go up with all your buddies. You went up by yourself. You got up in your watchtower. You were safe in that place, and it was a place of perspective. Because when you're up high, like maybe three stories up or four stories up, you can see way off in the distance. You can see perspective. So God says, hey, Habakkuk, you're losing your vision. You're losing the story, man. You're losing the plot. I'm doing something, and I want you to see it. And Habakkuk says, okay, I got it. I'm going to get up in my watchtower. I'm going to regain my perspective. I'm going to get alone with you, God. And I'm going to wait to see what you will say to me. Because I'm tired of listening all to the noise, and I want to hear what God is going to say. Do you believe if you got alone that God would give you perspective? You better believe He will. If you wait on Him, if you listen to Him, your life is going to look a whole lot different when you climb up in your watchtower. I want to challenge you. How's your watchtower life? Are you spending 6 hours a day on CNN and Fox News and the internet and Facebook and but you're not spending 6 minutes a day in your watchtower? It's no wonder that you're discouraged. It's no wonder you're dealing with depression and even normal challenges of life, like getting up and going to work and dealing with your family and raising your children and all that. That'll drain your strength. But all that seems so overwhelming. Oh, I can't handle it. I can't handle these kids. Yes, you can. You can handle those kids. You can handle work. You can handle your school load. You can. Listen to me. You can handle your schoolwork, but not in your own strength. You need to climb up in your watchtower and get back to God and get back to what he's saying. Hallelujah. This is good preaching right here. You should be shouting and running, and your hairpins should be popping out of your hair right now. Not really. We don't roll like that, but it's okay. It's cool. Everybody say, shift your focus. Then the second part of this, I have to hurry because I'm going to run out of time, is make a plan of action. Make a plan of action. God said to Habakkuk, write the plan, write the vision, make it plain so you can run when you read it. Everybody needs a plan. And there is nothing that you will ever do in your life that is worthwhile or meaningful that's just going to fall into your lap. You're going to have to get a plan. I don't care if you need to lose 12 pounds, you better get a plan. If you want to get out of debt, well, I'm sure everything will be fine. You know, we'll just see what happens. No. See what happens is not a plan. If your marriage is in crisis, dude, well, I'm sure if we just give it another week or two or another year or two, I'm sure it'll be. No, you got to get a plan. You got to fix your life. And I'm not talking about a plan that came from a man or a plan that came from, you know, Shifty, your friend. I'm talking about a plan that came from heaven. You got to get a plan for whatever you're going to do. If you're in a funky place in your career or in your finances, get a plan. Wait on God, because God will give you a plan, and you then work the plan, you write the vision, and you start running. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share a plan with our church this fall. We have so much coming up. I'm releasing a book called Beyond, A Vision for 10 Cities, because we have a plan. And we have a conference that's coming in the fall. I want every one of you to come. All four of our campuses are coming together in San Jose. We're going to have a tremendous time, and we're going to go over the plan. Because what we're called to do, we're not just going to, well, let's see what happens. I'm sure God will use us. No, we got a plan. And my challenge is, do you have a plan for where you want to be in your life? Do you have a ministry plan? Do you have a marriage plan? Do you have a financial plan? Get a plan and take action. And we get a plan by spending time with God. I got to move fast. Let's put this next slide up. Schedule regular time with God. Schedule regular time with God in your day. The first and most important plan of your life is to plan time with God. Well, I'm sure I'll get some time with God here someday. But that isn't going to happen, friend. Jack? Sweetheart? You got to set the time aside and say, this is my plan for spending time with God. This is my plan for being in the Bible. This is what I do on Sundays. This is what I do each day of the week. This is my plan to make sure that I'm in my watchtower, getting perspective and hearing God's voice. I really want to challenge you, because being strong is about discipline. Being strong is about action. And so God wants to give you grace to help you. All right, here's the last piece. As the worship team comes, and here they come. Boy, they're never late. Thank you, Pastor Nicole. I mean, she's just like, all right, Pastor, let's wrap it up. That's good. My team helps me, all right? I can fire them at any time, but they help me. I just want to, no, I'm kidding. That was out of the spirit. All right. Number one, shift your focus. Number two, make a plan. Number three, let God be your strength. Just one more verse. Habakkuk chapter 3. Remember I told you Habakkuk starts weak, but he ends strong? This is the strong part right here. Habakkuk realizes that God is his strength. Actually, nothing changed in Habakkuk's world. The economy didn't change. In fact, it got worse. The enemy didn't retreat. In fact, they advanced. But here's where Habakkuk comes to. He says this, I figured this out. Though the fig tree does not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, Though the yield of the olive fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks are cut off from the fold, and though there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God. See, he's tapped into the river of joy. He drilled down and he found his strength. I'm going to worship God on good days and bad days alike, because God is still worthy. And if I lose my job, I'm going to praise him. And if I get a promotion, I'm going to praise him. And if I lose my health, I'm going to praise him. And if I gain my health, I'm going to praise him. But I'm going to praise God, because he goes on and he says, the Lord God is my strength. And all this economy problem and political problem and world problem and wars and all of that, that's not where my strength comes from. My strength comes from God. And he says this, God is my what? Strength. So we're strong in him. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he'll cause me to walk on my high places. I wish I had 10 minutes to talk to you about the feet of a deer or a hind. They're anatomical wonders. Because deer can climb mountains. A deer from a standstill can jump 15 feet in the air. And they can cruise over mountains, the biggest mountains you've ever seen. They just cruise right over them because their feet make them stable. And Habakkuk is saying this. What he's saying is, he's saying, my life isn't going to get easier, but my feet are going to get stronger. And I'm going to get agile in my life. He says, God is going to give me grace to walk, and God's going to give me agility in tough places. So when I go to my school, or I go to my workplace and it's rocky and it's crazy, I don't freak out, because God is the strength of my life and I'm agile. Dude, I got moves. And I can move around on this stuff. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for grace to make the hard pathways smooth. I ask, Lord, that you become our strength as never before. And I pray for people listening into this service, Lord, that are just about ready to give up and so discouraged and so overwhelmed with negative emotions and bad vital signs. Lord, supercharge us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring us back to the joy of living. The joy of the Lord. It's really not all that bad. Just give us some hinds' feet, Lord. We can get over this mountain, Lord. Cause us to spring for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you're away from God, you heard me talk about Jesus who died on the cross. He died because he loves you. He died to give you eternal life. And maybe the whole reason why you've been allowed to go through such a hard time, you're hurting and you're really having a bad time, but maybe God allowed that to get your attention so that you would come to Jesus and surrender your life. You can't do it anymore on your own. And you need the joy of the Lord. You need the power of the Lord. You need the grace of God to fill you and change you. That's available to you. You can have eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and a home in heaven. But you've got to open your heart to Christ. You can't do it without him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask you, wherever you are, if that's you and you want me to pray for you to enter into a brand new life, that you would just slip up your hand. No one's looking around. Just put your hand up right now. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand up. I see you to my right. Two of you over there. Just say, Pastor David, pray for me. I'm just sick of trying to do this on my own. I need God in my life. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you on my left. Probably 8 people, 9 people. Every Christian praying. Look, it's time to come to Jesus. It's time to come to Jesus. Lord, I pray for those whose hands are being raised right now. And I know, Lord, that you brought them to this place today to touch their life. Just like little Cassiel, he got touched by God today. And Lord, you've touched many of us today. I thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins for every person lifting their hand. I thank you for new hope and new strength coming into them. Jesus, we open our hearts to you and we allow you to come in. Lord, give them the power of the Holy Spirit and turn their lives upside down, Lord, as only you can. Help them to be strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody look at me. There was 10 people with their hands raised, at least 10 people. So I want to thank the Lord for that. You know, it's real what's happening. It's people are coming to the Lord. That's real. That's not made up. And it just makes me so happy. This is what our church is all about. This is what we live for. If you raised your hands and everyone else that's listening to me, I'm going to invite you to say a prayer. We're all going to say it together. This would be maybe for you that raise your hands. Maybe this is the first real prayer you've ever prayed. I don't know, but I know God's going to hear it and he's going to crash gate your life. And let's say this prayer together. Can we lift up our voices and say this? Father God, thank you for your grace. I admit that I have allowed my spirit to become weak. I humbly ask you to forgive me and revive my spirit again. Right now, I decide to set my focus on you. Be my strength and my joy as I walk upon my high places in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning for his grace and power. Guys, it's time to be strong because life isn't going to get easier. It's time to be strong and deal with that discouragement. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings as the closing song is played. I love this song that they're going to sing about give me faith, and I might feel weak, but you are strong, Lord. Let's sing that together. And those of you that raised your hands, if you would take 30 seconds and grab that card in front of you, it says, I've decided. Will you fill that card out? Let me know what you've decided to do today and drop that card in the offering or bring it to me personally. I'd love to meet you. Those of you that give your life to the Lord, and if you're new in the church and you haven't done so, I'd love to get that card from you that says, I'm new here, all right? We welcome you. We're glad you're here. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you for your giving. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you see Pastor Brad and his team of prayer workers that are all here. If you need healing prayer, if you need a touch from the Lord, there's people here right now to pray with you. Maybe that's why you came, because you need someone to pray with you. So take advantage of that. We'll be happy to pray with you at the end of the service. Let's all stand together. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And I was wondering, what blessing could I speak today, Lord? Of course, we always want to speak grace, the grace of Jesus, and peace. But here's another one I'm just going to throw in. I'm going to ask God to release a plan. And maybe the plan you're on right now is not the plan. But God will give you a plan for your marriage, for your finances, for your health. And you'll walk out of this place on your way to your watchtower. God's going to give you a plan. Amen. Lift your hands if you would. Father, I speak a blessing on your people. We've enjoyed being in your house, Lord. We drunk from the river of your delights. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, Lord, let our spirits be saturated with grace and peace, and would you use us in the world? And Father, I release to every person the confidence and the joy of a mighty heaven-sent plan. Give us steps, Lord. Order our steps, Lord, this week. Speak to us in the areas that we need it the most. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love every one of you. God bless you. Thank you for being an amazing church. If you need prayers, come join the folks here at the front. God bless you. You are dismissed.